If the Los Angeles Rams will be hosting the Green Bay Packers on Netflix. Earlier today, more international matchups were announced, including the Saints against the Steelers in Paris in Week 7. NBA ESPN reported that LeBron James felt taken for granted by the Lakers after a March win where he passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most victories by one player in NBA history, only to have general manager Rob Pelinka present the game ball instead to J.J. Redick, who had just won his 100th game as a head coach. James then left the locker room and the arena without even changing clothes. Baseball right now, the Orioles have a 5-0 lead over the Yankees in the bottom of the sixth. Yankees pitcher Max Fried left this game with left elbow posterior soreness.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, California farmers' increasingly urgent need to reduce water use has attracted new businesses and more creative solutions for recycling wastewater. To process wastewater from the UC Davis Research Winery, the university uses technology from Napa-based Revita Water, which ushers wastewater through a series of steps, including filtration and introducing specific microbes. The technology can even make wastewater from dairies safe for humans to drink, although it's used mostly for irrigation. Well, the USDA is ramping up wildfire preparedness ahead of fire season, directing the Forest Service to strengthen response efforts and protect rural communities. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced a new memorandum focused on increasing firefighter readiness, risk reduction efforts, and coordination across agencies. The plan emphasizes faster response times and enhanced forest management practices. Officials say the strategy will benefit farmers and ranchers by protecting grazing land, timber resources, and rural infrastructure. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has endorsed new bipartisan legislation aimed at clarifying how alternative beef products are labeled, a move supporters say will benefit U.S. cattle producers and consumers alike. The Fair Labels Act would require clear labeling for cell-cultivated and plant-based proteins, including disclaimers that products are not derived from live animals. The bill also directs federal agencies to establish consistent labeling standards.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day matched bronc riding events presented by True Vet Solutions. Join us on Sunday, May 17th for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $75,000 purse in honor of the 75th annual Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages are mixed in afternoon trading, with the NASDAQ and S&P 500 on track for fresh record closes, even though hot producer prices data reinforced bets that the Fed would be keeping interest rate cuts off the table. Investors are also eagerly awaiting President Trump's meeting with Chinese leader Xi. Tech is the best performing sector, while financials and industrials are lagging, and ship stocks are bouncing back from yesterday's losses, with shares of Micron Technology Technology and NVIDIA leading the charge. Their respective CEOs are among the executives traveling to China with President Trump. And Morgan Stanley is raising its annual target for the S&P 500 index to 8,000 from 7,800, saying stocks have enough room to rally as companies continue to post robust earnings. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hilary Barsky, invested in you.
You know, protecting your home should not be a headache. Many security companies, they lock you into these multi-year contracts. No, Simply Safe Home Security, they do things differently. With Simply Safe, you get award-winning 24/7 professional monitoring around a buck a day without any long-term commitment. Simply Safe, they just want to earn your trust every day by doing a great job. Right now, you'll get 50% off your custom system by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Half off when you go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. And remember, there's no safe like Simply Safe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
When a documentary deals with fiction rather than fact, it really isn't a documentary, is it? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The very word documentary makes you think of research and of factual material painstakingly collected. And those who read or see a documentary are entitled to believe they've been given an objective, thoroughly documented treatise on whatever the subject might be. Not too long ago on this program, I discussed Cuba and gave some requirements I thought should be met before Uncle Sam welcomed that unhappy island back into the family of American nations. Now, that was an editorial, an expression of opinion with which you could agree or disagree. Since then, one of our TV networks has presented, with a certain amount of fanfare, a, quote, documentary, unquote, and question mark. It was called Cuba, the People. Was it really a documentary, or was it an editorial? Basically, the message was that soon Cuba will no longer be an underdeveloped country thanks to the success of socialism. The question is, how and when did Cuba become an underdeveloped country? Prior to Castro, Cuba led all its Latin neighbors in standard of living, literacy, and any number of other desirable indicators. For example, Cuba had more doctors in proportion to population, more automobiles, higher per capita income, more TV broadcasting and ownership of TV sets, more newspaper circulation, and even greater attendance at movies. In movie going, they were second only to us, which means they were second in the world. The so-called documentary was of Cuba today. It showed farmers plowing with oxen. Now, I don't know how widespread that is, but mechanized farming had reached a pretty high level back in Cuba, B.C., before Castro. Let me read some lines from what has to be considered a real documentary. A report issued in May 1962 by the Economic Research Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The report was entitled, Agriculture and Food Situation in Cuba. Quote, in 1958, Cuba was self-supporting in many foodstuffs such as meat, poultry, fish, eggs, milk, butter, tubers, vegetables, coffee, and fruits, of which there was a great variety and abundance. In the season, oranges were sold in pushcarts in Havana, peeled, iced, and ready to eat at 3, 4, or 5 for a nickel. Under communism, food ration cards were introduced before the third year of the revolution expired. Oranges have become so scarce that they can only be purchased in pharmacies with a doctor's prescription. Unquote. I don't know whether the makers of the documentary intended to sell us socialism or whether they were just set up by their Cuban hosts, but a truly objective documentary would have made it plain that the Cuba of today is not anywhere near as well off or economically sound as it was before Castro imposed communism on the people. Indeed, there's every reason to believe Cuba would be in real trouble without the sizable subsidy it gets from the Soviet Union. These days, when we're flooded with so many words on every subject, we need to check out some of those words before we accept them as gospel, including the use of the word documentary. And that goes for my words, too. Make sure you've heard all the facts before you make up your mind. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And if you were listening this morning and you're saying, wait a minute, Eric Gorham was going to fill in today. Eric Gorham was filling in today. Something came up. So I am doing the show after all. And we are going to have a very, very interesting show today. Today we are going to be talking about a recent issue with the San Luis Obispo Clerk Recorder's Office. Elaine Cano has been the Clerk Recorder, I think, since about 21. And I could be off a little bit on that. There have been a lot of errors and mistakes and missteps, and they're just common. I mean, it's to the point where most every election, there are different issues that come up, and the issues are, putting a 2-year term as a 4-year term, putting the wrong people on a ballot, leaving someone off the ballot. There have been a mistake almost every election, and it's become commonplace. And back, if people remember, Julie Rodewald, like her or hate her, she did not make mistakes in the election on every election. Tommy Gong made some mistakes, under Elaine Cano, it's at an all new level. And we're going to be going over, first we're going to talk to local attorney Chuck Bell. He's not an attorney anymore, he's a retired attorney, but I believe he was the number one expert in California on election law, hired by people in both parties to look at campaigns, to look at laws. He is very well known as an election law expert. I'm going to have him start the show and explain what happened here. Then I'm going to also have on the candidates for clerk recorder. Vanessa Rizzo will be coming on at 1, and then Gaia Powell will be coming on at 1:30. So we will have other people to discuss what should be happening here, why this shouldn't be happening, and how they feel about it. Chuck, thank you very much for agreeing to come on the show today.
Thank you, Karen. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you perfect. The voter guides are an information point for voters. And in this case, and there's a thing about endorsements. Will you explain the endorsement issue? There's six political political parties that are recognized by the state of California. As most people know, Democrats are the biggest party in our state. The second biggest party is the Republican Party. And the third biggest party is the American Independent Party. There are also a couple other parties that are recognized by the state of California. That is the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, and the P Peace and Freedom Party, and they all have a right by law to have their endorsements on the voter brochure that's sent to the voter guide that's sent to all residents in the county. Would you explain what happened here with the voter guides this year?
Sure, Karen. Just a little bit of background. As you know, voters get two guides. One is the state voter information pamphlet, and it has statewide offices on it. And then in years, or in the general election years, ballot propositions on it. So that's often a very thick thing with a lot of information. The county produces its own smaller voter information guide. All this is subject to state law requirements, and in the county information guide, it will have candidate statements by candidates for local offices. And again, if there is a ballot measure that's on the ballot, I don't believe that's the case this year. Whether it's a local countywide or local district, they have an opportunity to put in information as well. But in this case, the state law, as you stated, requires the county information guide to include lists of statewide candidates that the six ballot qualified parties have made for offices, and those are to be included on this pamphlet. There's a deadline for receipt prior to the election, so it accommodates the printing schedule for this ballot pamphlet. What happened, as I understand it, is the American Independent Party submitted its list of endorsed candidates to the county, as it did to, I understand, counties all around the state. Each county would be the target under the state law for the state parties to send information on who their endorsed candidates were. And it's a useful guide. It's actually a product of change in law related to our top two primary system, where we eliminated almost all the traditional offices, statewide, federal offices, and legislative and so forth, which were previously considered partisan offices, and made them nonpartisan with this primary election, one that has a top two feature. You'll see on your ballot 61 candidates filed for governor, and fewer in number for all of the other constitutional offices. And for the local offices, they're on the bottom end of the, or back side of the ballot card that you get. So it's really a product of a change of law related to the ballot, the top two primary, that they threw to the parties the bone of allowing them to get their endorsements of candidates on the local ballot for voter information. So that's the process. As I understand it, the American Independent Party submitted on a timely basis their list. But they were omitted from the pamphlet, and the chairman of the party, as I understand it, reached out to the county registrar's office, informed them of this, and demanded that they put out not only the information on what they did by special postcard mailing to all voters, pointing out that an error was made and that the AIP candidates endorsed were the following. So that's apparently in the mail now to voters. I don't know if it's actually been received in mailboxes, but if it hasn't, it should be imminently. In addition, the county put out on at least some social media pages. I get Facebook. I happen to see it there. Comprehensive list that listed all of the parties and all of their endorsements once again. Now, in your ballot materials that the county has given you, all you have now is one that has those of five of the six qualified parties, and you will get a special one via postcard identifying specifically the American Independent Party endorsements.
And from what I've heard is, you know, the Independent Party contacted the county, asked them to fix the omissions, and were initially told, well, we're going to put the entire list of everybody on social media. We're going to put, you know, all the Republican, the Democrat, the different parties all on the list. And we'll send that out, and it will get out to everybody. And they were told, no, you admitted only us, and you mailed it. You need to send ours. You need to take the omissions out, and you need to send ours to the voters.
All registered voters.
And
yes,
so
that's my understanding.
And then what happened then was there was an agreement. It was mailed out yesterday. And they are putting out the entire list to all voters. Their list, not the entire list of everybody else, but they are going to, everyone will get a postcard in the mail that is a registered voter saying these are the endorsements by the Independent Party.
That's my understanding. That's my understanding that initially the county proposed just to send out something with whether it was by social media or special postcard, I don't know. I think it was just social media. And the American Independent Party said, no, that's not right. And they have a history of actively contesting omissions such as that have occurred in counties. I believe they may have had one or more already this year, and they took the same position. We need a special notification by postcard, and then whatever else you do is up to you in terms of other identification, but we think special attention needs to be drawn to this. So that's what I understand is, has been done.
And I want to kind of move to the public resource thing. So for those that don't remember, earlier this year, the clerk recorder's office was under fire for using public resources to promote Democratic talking points regarding
the SAFE Act.
The SAFE Act. And putting out Democratic talking points about what it was about, not what it was actually about, but what the Democratic talking points were. And there are absolute laws. Public officials are not allowed to use their offices. People get in trouble almost every election. They'll have something happen. And this isn't a right or left issue. I have seen both Republicans and Democrats and declined to state get their hands slapped because they're in office. They have a PIO putting something out. And I mean, it's happened with some very well-known public officials in our county. I'm not going to disparage people who were caught in the last 20 years, but there have been some very well-known public officials who allowed the PIO to send things out through their departments and then apologized and said, we shouldn't have done it, we won't do it again. But the problem with this is they're repeatedly told, don't do it again, and it happens again. So were you surprised that they had people promoting her on the social media page for the county?
I was surprised by that. It seemed like it was more to deflect blame from the registrar and make the point that it was a staff member. I think that, you know, I question the wisdom of doing that because it usually backfires when you attempt to deflect responsibility from the official to one of their employees. It's the, you know, this is the system we have, the accountability system, particularly for elected officials such as the registrar. Take responsibility for your mistake, fix it, get it fixed promptly. Don't try and make excuses for it, particularly in this office where the candidate for the office holder is on the ballot for re-election. So, and I would say, you know, I think that ultimately the office is responsible for the mistakes it makes in the conduct of elections. Elections are not easy to conduct. The legislature has loaded, in my mind, undue requirements to accomplish particular things that the legislature wants to do in elections, everything from all-mail balloting to allowing for ballot harvesting and not, in my opinion, adequately providing safeguards for and clean voter rolls. So things like that, largely the responsibility of the legislature, it falls on local election officials to deal with that and deal with it in as seamless and accurate a manner as they can do. As I said, I don't know how this registrar has organized her staff. My experience with election departments is that they do have a challenging responsibility, and that is to conduct an election. It used to be kind of a one-day election, but now with all-mail balloting, early voting, and such, the election period is extended. The requirements change every election. There's some new wrinkle added to the election code that the registrars are required to comply with. So small staff, limited time to conduct an election means that it's especially important to organize your administration in such a way that you can, to the best as possible, catch these kinds of problems. So I'm not second-guessing this, but I think that fundamentally that's the responsibility of the elected official.
And one of the things is that we're having issues with every election. You know, I remember the one in Los Osos where they put one as a two-year term that was a four-year term, and another one as a four-year term is a two-year term. And then there was something in Arroyo Grande where they had the people in rural Arroyo Grande. For those that don't know, your post office designation, so the post office is delivering to you, isn't your designation legal definition. So, for example, there's parts of, if you get off on Avila Beach Drive, over by Avila Beach, that is not the city of SLO. But your mail comes to a San Luis Obispo, it says San Luis Obispo. So when someone's sending you a piece of mail, it may say San Luis Obispo, but you do not vote in the city of SLO. You cannot vote for the mayor. You cannot vote for the council. You do not get to vote for them. And someone in the office made the mistake of putting it in Arroyo Grande. If it said Arroyo Grande, even though it wasn't part of the city, they were allowing, they added to those ballots the ability to vote for mayor and council when people in the county cannot vote for the city officials. My issue is, how is this happening every election? Why don't they have a template? Why don't they have a set of instructions? Do this, this, and this. How are these things coming up election after election after election when there should already be a template that has the five parties, has the squares, and they're just going in and putting in the new information. To me, it doesn't make sense that these errors are being made to this extent.
Well, I have no knowledge of how they've organized and how they handle the preparation of the ballot and obtain all the information that's necessary to put on that in this office. That's probably a question to ask this registrar.
And I've got to take a break. A word from our sponsors. If I can keep you on for one more short segment, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And right now we're going to be going over throughout this show the issues at the clerk recorder's office. The first segment, I have Chuck Bell. I also have both candidates, Vanessa Rosso and Gaia Powell, coming in to talk about what's going on in the clerk recorder's office. Chuck, do you remember this many errors years ago anywhere? And are these errors going? I'm going to ask you two questions. First, have you ever seen this amount of errors at a clerk recorder's office?
Well, I've looked at large and small counties, and large counties tend to have more errors in small counties as a rule, just because of the number of things they have to deal with. One thing I would say is there is an association of state election officials, the county representatives of that, annually go to a conference, usually in Sacramento, where they learn about new laws that will come to apply to them. And so learning about that is important because those changes all ultimately, or the responsibility of these local officials to implement correctly. Whether they have anything like, you know, goofs we made this year in ways that, you know, the assembled group of, you know, fairly experienced election officials in the whole have dealt with them. So if it hasn't been done, I'm sure it should be part of their agenda to see how whether there are some best practices that can be adopted to try to eliminate or, you know, substantially limit these kinds of things from occurring, whether it be techniques like you suggested with the template a little bit earlier, or how to deal with it. One of the things I would say with the parties and with local elections is that it's essential to have an opportunity to, one, collect the information from the local jurisdictions about which offices are up, what the term of office is, and so on. The state parties, you know, I guess the question is, if you know you've got six parties that are on the ballot, then you may have to include the information for them. I don't think it's necessarily the obligation of the local jurisdiction to inquire of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the American Independent Party whether they're going to submit a list or not. That's the responsibility of those parties. But to make sure that if you don't have something that you've reviewed all of your receipts from different sources, that such as the parties when they submit these lists. So all of these are administrative details that can help an election official to conduct a error-free election. And then again, as in almost any job or business, or whether it's governmental or non-governmental, you make a mistake, you correct it as quickly as possible and take responsibility for it and learn from the mistakes to try to prevent it from happening.
And I have a text message in on the text line, the 238-5775 text line. The grand jury report from November 2020 found errors and found that they had no written standard operating procedures. So not having any written standard operating procedures, that would probably lead to having a lot of issues every election.
I think so. And it's sort of common sense that that you can't rely on institutional memory of people, because people come and go, and people get new assignments and aren't responsible subsequently for the previous assignments. So written procedures is an essential thing. And if they don't have them at this point, particularly if the grand jury noted a few years ago, shame on them.
And again, I think with written procedures, you would have a template of what to do every election. This is what is required. Just someone who's worked in a business, you don't reinvent the wheel every time you do something. It can make it very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would also go back and say the legislature, which has the responsibility to review and decide and even, well, and certainly to legislate new obligations on local agencies, in my view, doesn't pay attention to the complexity of the laws that they've passed and obligated these local officials to administer.
We're at the top of the hour, and I'm going to have to let you go, but I have one quick question that just got texted in. Is ballot harvesting legal?
Ballot harvesting is legal, subject to some limits. The Secretary of State has got regulations on it and some guidance, and I think those have been sent to the local jurisdiction.
And I'm going to have to cut you off. We're at the top of the hour. I got to take a word from our sponsors. Thank you for coming in today.
You're welcome.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.